We're returning this morning to Psalm 121, and I'm going to take as the theme or the topic of my message the verse 2 that says, "My help cometh from the Lord." My help comes from the Lord. One of the most powerful words in the English language is the word help. Help. Now, it's been said that help is the cry of the mother with four children, three dogs and two cats, after a week at home, after her husband's been away on a business trip. Help! Help is the cry of the student who sits down to take his final exam, and as he turns over the page, realizes that he studied the wrong chapters. Help is the cry of the man that sits at the table surrounded by a stack of unpaid bills, hungry children, an empty bank account, and no job in sight. It's the cry of the woman who poured her life and her heart into hearth and home, only for her husband to walk out and to leave her alone. Help. I wonder this morning, have you ever been in a position where you needed help? Perhaps more than that, have you ever been in a position where the only one who could help you was the Lord? That's where the psalmist finds himself this morning. He is in great need of help, and he needs help from God. He's in such a position this morning that there is no other person that he can turn to for assistance but the Lord of heaven. Now, when you look at Psalm 121, you'll find four little words that begin the psalm before the verse actually starts. It says a song of degrees, or perhaps a song of ascents. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are 15 of these songs in the book of Psalms. They start at Psalm 120 and go through to Psalm 134. Songs of degrees or songs of ascents. Now, the word that's translated degrees or ascent comes from the Hebrew word that means to go up, to ascend, like ascending a stairway. You see, in these days that the Psalms were written, the ancient Israelites would travel up to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is on a hillside. It's 900 meters in elevation, and they would ascend up to Jerusalem for the various feasts that the Lord had ordained in his word. And so, coming from their distant towns, from wherever they called home, the pilgrims would make their long journey to Jerusalem, largely making the journey on foot with their family and their friends in order to go to Jerusalem for the time of the feasts. And they were anticipating a blessed time in the holy city to meet up with old friends, to go and to worship the Lord. This was a time of great anticipation and of blessing for them. Now, of course, depending on what direction you were coming and how far you had to travel, the journey could be long and difficult and sometimes challenging. And so, to encourage themselves as they made this journey from home to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs of ascent as they were going up to Jerusalem. And it must have been a great comfort for them to be able to sing Psalm 121 and remind themselves of God's great care of them even as they travelled. So I was thinking, what about our journey, our spiritual journey from earth to heaven? These psalms are not just written for the ancient Hebrews. They contain essential truths for you and I as we journey towards heaven and home today. You see, the Bible never lies to us. And it doesn't tell us that life is always going to be easy. And simply because we are Christians, we don't get a free pass from many of the difficulties and trials and tribulations that come upon us in this world. And there's that mistaken idea sometimes that when we come to Christ, that all our troubles will miraculously disappear. Whereas the Lord Jesus has reminded us that in this world, ye shall have tribulation. And if the world hated me, then it will hate you also. But the wonderful thing is that we know that in times of trouble and times of difficulty, we have the wonderful assurance of the presence of the Lord. And so from the psalm this morning, I want to leave three very precious truths with you that I trust will encourage you as you make your journey towards heaven. And I hope they'll sustain us on the way. And the first of those thoughts is this: the Lord is my provider. The Lord is my provider. Now, the psalmist is doing what we all do when we find ourselves in times of trouble. We look every place for help but the right place. We try everything but the right thing. We ask everyone except the right one. And we try every avenue except the right one. Look at what happens there in verse 1. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, it's not that the psalmist thought that his help would come from the hills. That's not what he's saying. He makes a statement, then he asks a question. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Then he breaks off and he asks a question. From whence cometh my help? Or where am I going to find help? Where am I going to find help? I've lifted up my eyes to the hills. Where is my help going to come from? We might put it this way. I've searched high and low. Where's my help coming from? That's what he's saying. The answer to the problems that you and I face in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our societies, our help is not found in the hills of humanistic reasoning or in the halls of higher learning. The prophet Jeremiah has already warned the nation of Israel about this. You find that in Jeremiah chapter 3. And the verse 23, here's what Jeremiah said under inspiration from the Lord. Truly in vain salvation is hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So the psalmist is looking in the wrong place. I lifted up my eyes to the hills. Where is my help going to come from? Where is our hope to be found when trials and difficulties come? Now, thankfully, he finds the right answer in verse 2. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. And with that promise of help, there come certain promises to you and I. He says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And there is security in those words. Can you think of anyone you would rather have as your helper than the God who created the heavens and the earth? The God who created all things. Here is a God who is higher than the hills, who is mightier than the mountains, who is above all the armies of this world, who is greater than the mightiest generals. We're talking about the God who created all things with just a word. We're talking about the God of whom Jeremiah spoke, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, there is nothing too hard for thee. And the wonderful thing, Christian, is this, that the God who created this world still controls this world. He can do anything he pleases in this world, and through this world, and for this world, and with this world. Anything he chooses to do. For our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You'll read that in Psalm 115 and verse 3. So I hope that you realize that in your time of trouble, the one that you should be looking to is the God who created the heavens and the earth. If only we realized how powerful our mighty God really is. And when we come to those times when we realize that God is the only help that we have, may we also realize he is the only help that we need. We don't need any other. There is no problem that we face that is too great for the Lord to deal with. And when we come across those difficulties that seem so insurmountable, I trust that you will lift up your eyes not to the hills, that you'll not search high and low throughout this world, but you'll look to the Lord which made heaven and earth, the one who created and who sustains all things. Do you think he's up to the challenge? I know he is. There is security in these words. And verse 3, we find that there is stability in the Lord as our provider. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. We'll not slip, nor slide, nor stagger, nor stumble. For the pilgrim on his way to Jerusalem, there were many dangers. There was no pathways such as we have today. No lovely wide open roads with a smooth surface for them to travel on. There was rough terrain. There were rocks underfoot. It was treacherous in many places. How easy it would be to stumble or to fall or to slip or to sprain an ankle while on the rocky paths. Every now and then we face situations that threaten to throw us down and to cause us to fall. But the promise of the Lord is this, that though we may stagger, we will not fall down, because the Lord will not allow our foot to be moved. There's a wonderful promise found in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 25. We're told, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the consolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. When we're standing on the rock of ages, we will neither slip nor stumble. Now we're told about the wicked that their foot shall slide in due season, that they stand in slippery places. But for the child of God, the Lord will not suffer their foot to be moved. We will not slip into that awful eternity. And while others around us are falling, the one who stands for God and with God and on God, he cannot fall, because the Lord will not suffer thy foot to be moved. It's the Lord who holds us up. There is stability and there is serenity. Look again at verse 3. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, no parent can watch over their children 24 hours a day. It's just not possible. But God does. God does. You've probably heard the expression, out of sight and out of mind. Well, we are never out of God's sight, and we are never off his mind. God knows us. He knows who we are. The God who made the heavens and the earth, he knows us by name. He knows us intimately. He knows the very number of hairs upon our head. The Lord knows all of those things. And being so intimately aware of who we are and what we are, he is right up to date with all of the issues and the troubles and the difficulties that we have to face. He knows everything about us. He knows how we feel even right now this morning, and he cares deeply. He is on watch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 100 years a century, 10 centuries a millennium. It's always watch. And the reason why we are able to go to bed at night and to put our head upon the pillow in peace is because God is watching over us. When David was being pursued by his own son, and there was a wanted poster on every tree with David's face upon it, wanted dead, not alive. You know what David said in Psalm 4 and verse 8? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, makest me dwell in safety. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Back in the days of the Second World War, when London was being blitzed every night, the people would make their way to the air raid shelters and there stay underground for safety through the night's bombings. And one particularly devastating night, after the raids were over, they would do a head count and see just who all was there and if anyone was missing. And then after the raid, they would go and search amongst the ruins for the dead or the dying or the missing. Well, they noticed one evening that there was an old grandmother that they couldn't find. She wasn't anywhere. And they looked for her. They found her asleep in her little bedroom, in her little house. And they came and they wakened her and they said to her, Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all of that bombing going on? And she simply looked at them and said, well, it says in the Bible that he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So I figured there was no need for both of us to stay awake. So I went to bed. He lay down in peace. The Lord watches over us. Now I know there are times that perhaps we have paced the floor at night because of an issue that's come up or an illness that's come or a problem that we've found in our lives. Well, have you found that God also works the night shift? That he's always there when we need him? That even in the loneliest and the darkest hour of our night, that he is there because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's ever watchful. He is our provider. Now, David has something else to say here, and I believe David's the writer of this psalm. Not only is the Lord our provider, he is our protector. In verse 5, it says, the Lord is thy keeper. He is thy keeper. Now, several times over through the psalm, you find not only does the Lord keep, but you find also that he preserves. It's really the same word that's been used, just translated in different ways. And they both mean the same thing, to guard and to protect. The Lord is our keeper. Now, we need the Lord to keep us, because we are so vulnerable from all sides. Back in these ancient days, a soldier had two primary weapons. He had a sword and he had a shield. His shield he would carry in his left hand, and so the most vulnerable part of his body was down his right hand side. Now notice where it says the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. In the place where the soldier was most vulnerable, the Lord was at his most strongest. The Lord puts his strength at our greatest point of weakness. He takes up the position so he can defend us no matter where the attack comes from. The Lord is our shade. That word simply means a shadow. God is like our shadow. Our shadows follow us every moment of the day. The Lord is our shade upon our right hand. So no matter where we go, what situation we face, how we feel, no matter the strength of the opposition that's against us, no matter what the world might throw at us, no matter the fiery darts that the devil might hurl, God is right there. At our right hand, he is our keeper. Is that not encouraging? To know that no matter where the danger might come from, wherever we are weakest, God is there as our keeper. Now, verse 6 shares something else with us. Not only are we vulnerable from all sides, but we're vulnerable at all seasons. But we're told that the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. It makes no difference to the Lord whether it's by day or by night. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't have dangers or difficulties. It doesn't mean that we won't find ourselves in times of physical or emotional pain. But the thing is, the Lord is there with us. And he promises to keep us by day. The sun shall not smite thee by day. We often go through fiery trials. Peter warns us about this. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Sometimes it gets hot in the kitchen of life. But the Lord, well, the Lord will be our shade upon our right hand, and the sun shall not smite thee by day, because the Lord is our shade at our right hand. Not only will the heat of the day not affect us, but neither will the moon smite us by night. They used to talk about being moonstruck, and certainly when the psalm was being written, there were all kinds of superstitions circulating around the moon. They believed that moonlight brought just as many dangers as sunlight. Well, it doesn't matter. The psalmist says that by day or by night, the Lord is at our right hand. He's our protector from all that would harm us. No matter what direction it comes from, be it by day or by night, the Lord is always there. He's the one who protects us from the night's fears, from the darkness and the loneliness of the night. Here's the message of the Lord. God is great. He can protect us from the heat of the day and from the terrors of the night. He will never leave our side. He is our keeper and our protector. He is our provider. He is our protector. And he is our preserver. Notice how the psalm ends. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, we've said already the word preserve in verses 7 and 8 is the same as the word keep in verses 4 and 5. But it's shares another thought with us. Not only does God protect us, but he preserves us. And we need him to do both of those things, to preserve us. He will preserve us spiritually, because we're told that he will preserve us from all evil. He'll not allow the evil one to have us. So we're thinking of the evil that could be done by us or the evil that can be done to us. The Lord promises that if we will follow him and love him and serve him and obey him, that he will not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He will deliver us from all that is wicked and would injure us. I heard the story of a young man, a young Christian man, who was asked by one of his friends to go to a particular place that, quite frankly, a young Christian had no business going to. And he said to his friend, "Well, I would like to go, but I have a friend that loves me, whom I love very much, and he would not want me to go to such a place without him." And so his friend said, "Well, let's go and speak to your other friend and see, can we get him to go too?" And he said, "Well, no, it's no use. I can tell you right now, he'll not want to go. But we can ask him, we can try. Perhaps he will go." "No, I know this friend. We've been friends for a long time, and I'm telling you, he will not go to that place." "Who is this friend of yours exactly?" "My friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our friend, the one who preserves us, keeps us from evil." The Lord Jesus Christ was a friend to sinners, but he was an enemy of sin. And any man, any woman, any young person that is a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, they too will be an enemy to sin. The Lord shall preserve us from all evil. He preserves us spiritually, and he preserves us continually. He preserves us in our going out and in our coming in. That's a wonderful little expression just that describes the regular routine of life, our going out and our coming in. All of the demands of the day, whatever the day might bring, our going out, our coming in, the Lord preserves us in all of those things. He cares about us in every aspect of our day. He preserves us spiritually. He keeps us from evil. He shall preserve us continually in our going out and in our coming in. He shall preserve us eternally, because he shall preserve us from this time forth and even forevermore. That little phrase at the end of verse 8, "and even forevermore," that's one of the greatest one-sentence statements on the security of the believer in God. The Lord preserves us forevermore. From the moment that that person is saved and brought into the kingdom of God, throughout all of his life and throughout all of the eternity to follow, the Lord shall keep us forevermore. Well, what about those times then that I haven't been faithful to God? Yes, even then the Lord will keep you. What about those times that I've gotten away from God and grown cold of heart? Yes, even then the Lord keeps you. You see, the thing is that even though we haven't always been faithful to God, he has always been faithful to us. He has promised to preserve us from this time forth and even forevermore. It's not our faithfulness that keeps us. It's God's faithfulness that keeps us. So when friends abandon you, remember, God is your provider. When foes attack you, remember that God is your protector. When fears assail you, remember God is your preserver. He is our help. Where does our help come from? Not from the hills. Our help cometh from the Lord. And I trust that we will continue to look to the Lord, for help is on the way. And the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. Amen.